Casey Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor or licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hale, author, natural health expert, producer.
Internet expert. Fixing internet expert. When it doesn't work, and maybe this isn't even recording. Maybe the show doesn't even happen.
Maybe it doesn't exist.
Right.
This is all happening in some other universe, maybe.
Yeah, I think we didn't wind our internet clock or something.
Okay, yeah. It stopped in 2000. We've just been talking to no one.
Right. They warned us about that 2000 thing.
Exactly. And it
happened. We didn't listen.
Yeah. We're the last to know. So we got Hottie Patati Will Schmidt coming from the Bay Area today. What's up, Will Schmidt?
Yo, how's it going?
It's going good. How you doing?
Good. Full swing in pre-med classes up here.
Nice.
Loving it.
Awesome.
That's fancy. I can't wait until you start to gut a pig or something and tell us all about it. I don't know what kind of stuff they do in class now, but how does that even go?
Starting bio lab starts Saturday, I'll tell you.
Okay, good times.
Oh, gosh.
Good times.
Wow. Well, if you haven't liked us on Facebook, you need to go ahead and like us at Kick It in the Nuts. That's where we post all of our show topics that we'll be doing, and you guys can post any questions you want us to cover in the show, or you can even pitch a show that you want to hear. Rick does it all the time.
Rick does it all the time. This show is a non-Rick show. It's weird.
I don't even know. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, we're going to forfeit the whole thing.
We keep hitting stuff.
I don't know. We're rebellious. But also, everybody that's been leaving us reviews, thank you so much. All of you guys are so awesome. It really helps us spread the word. We got a new good one. Why don't we read that?
Yeah, things make sense for once. And I think it's Q-tip. It's H-E-U-T-I-P.
That's their sign.
That's his handle
code name
or whatever.
Handle, right.
It should not be a new idea for advice on handling my own body's chemistry to make sense. TC and Will put the power in our hands to figure out our own bodies and how they work. We're not all the same, and neither should our diets be. Also, Kenna is clever and pretty. And I didn't just add that in.
You didn't add
Q-Tip said that.
Okay, so they can check on iTunes, and it'll really say that.
It's going to say that, and I'm going to check out and see what Q-Tip looks like.
Okay, yeah, Q-Tip, we'll be in touch. But thanks. Thanks for
Thank you,
helping
Q-Tip.
Us
you
spread
made my
the word.
Day.
So we're going to get into some questions today, and we're going to answer them. It's weird that we're going to try to do that, but people sent in some questions, so
I thought the show was going to be over Q-Tip, but we have questions we're actually going to
ask. Yeah, we're done with that part of the show.
Okay. All right. Mary from Camberley, UK. I am having to take prescribed drugs for my spinal problems. How will this affect the paleo diet I am on now?
It'll make it taste brown. Yeah. All paleo items will now start to taste brown.
They'll have a little spiny taste to them.
I don't know. So, Will, let's get into this a little bit because we actually hear this question a lot, especially when people are making dietary changes and also when they're using a lot of the supplements that we recommend people, like if they're going to try to fix digestion and stuff. So an important thing to understand is that just about every supplement we use is a food form of supplement. It's a natural supplement that is derived from food or some type of natural substance. So the pharmaceutical meds are like a powerful locomotive train. So you're not going to be able to derail that train using like a stick of butter. Like if you stand in front of a train with a stick of butter and tell it to stop, that's going to be splattered butter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and we're not saying, oh, fine, do whatever you want, and let's take lots of drugs. We're not doing any type of recommending for anyone as far as any kind of medication goes, because we don't qualify to do that. But we do know that the pharmaceutical medications are so powerful that you don't have to worry about a food choice or even a natural supplement turning off the ability of that pharmaceutical medication to do its job. Now, no matter what you're taking, you still need to ask your doctor, can I do this and can I do that? Because they're in charge of telling you what to do with medications. But we do hear from people a lot that are using things like, you know, HCL and beet flow and enzymes and things to either fix digestion or maybe move chemistry a little bit. And it doesn't appear to affect their medication in any way. What do you have to add to that, Will?
There are definitely, as you said, like exceptions to these rules where we'll have, if you're taking a particular medication, they'll say, be sure you're not also taking, usually like these other medications can be contraindicated, but also sometimes there can be random foods like particular herbs or other vitamins or nutrients. Like I had one client recently was talking about some antidepressant medication that they were on, and they wanted to, they were looking at using SAMe, which is like an amino acid, and like, oh, well that interferes with serotonin uptake. And so their doctor's like, oh, don't do that. And I, you know, it comes down to like when we're getting into these different pharmaceutical medications and how particular herbs or other nutrients can interact, it gets really complicated really quickly. And also, I think we have a question later, too, about scientific research and how to know what's good or not. But
I think we're going to cover that next week.
But yeah. Okay. But it can really take a lot of digging to figure out what the real story is and what's going on. And even if you're reading, like, you know, the peer-reviewed scientific journals about a particular thing, it's still like, not necessarily clear what's actually right. So it can take a really sophisticated understanding to look at any particular case with a good grasp on it. But I would say, like, do listen to your doctor's mentions of like contraindications, and then also try to develop your understanding of these things, because like it's your body, it's an important thing. It's not like you can choose to be a car guy or not. Like you can get really into knowing how cars work and that sort of thing, but you don't have to. Like you don't. But with your body, like
I know where the gas goes.
Yeah, but if you want to be healthy, like, and you're having issues, like you, like there are people that can definitely help you. But it also will really behoove you to learn more so you can make more educated choices.
Right. So now if you're someone who's been learning about your chemistry and learning, okay, I'm dealing with this imbalance and I'm going to take these steps to try to improve that. If you're on a medication, you could also research to try and figure out what kind of mechanism is that particular medication working on, or what is it trying to achieve? And it can kind of give you some clues as to, you know, like a blood pressure lowering medication, just to put out a very easy example. We know that that's going to lower blood pressure. So if you're also taking some type of supplements and you're making food choices to also lower your blood pressure, you know to keep an eye on blood pressure, because the power of that medication and the power of the natural steps that you're taking may make your blood pressure too low, and you could start to be dizzy or have cravings or depression, you know, all the symptoms that come along with low blood pressure. So it's not always easy to research what the medications are doing. A lot of times they just say it works on this symptom, and that's all the information they're going to give you.
But it is, you reminded me of an important point I wanted to bring up, is it is really important to try to figure out, okay, what is this drug doing? Yeah, sure. And you can ask your doctor, like, why am I taking it? And they'll say, like, oh, well, because you have high blood pressure, or because you have whatever it is. And then you can start the line of inquiry of, like, well, why do I have high blood pressure? And the trick is, don't get stopped by their first four or five answers.
Which is because your parents had high blood pressure.
Exactly, right? And because it's idiosyncratic, or it's genetic, or hereditary. It's like, okay, like, it there that may well be, like, you may have a gene or something that makes you more inclined to having that problem, like high blood pressure or high blood sugar. But if you just stop there and be like, oh, well, I guess I got the short end of this genetic stick, like, you will miss out on a world of opportunity to improve your situation naturally. Because, like, as scientists are learning more and more about epigenetics and the ability to affect how our genes express themselves by changing the environment surrounding them, we're learning more that there's a lot you can do, even if you do have genetics that, you know, incline you towards an issue. There's a lot you can do to help, like, buffer against that and keep yourself healthy. So when you are taking when you're prescribed a medication, try to figure out, okay, well, why am I being prescribed this? What is causing the problem at the root end? Because I can guarantee you it's not a lack of Prozac or a lack of whatever.
You don't have a Prozac deficiency.
Exactly. Yeah. It's an issue of something going on physiologically. And if you can start to like seek out either professional support or just more research on your own to help you understand like what's causing that physiological distress, then you can start to make some, you know, smart changes in your diet, your lifestyle, your environment, the way you exercise, to try to help shift your physiology naturally, because that medication, in almost every case, is not fixing the problem. It's usually masking a symptom or pushing a certain parameter in a certain direction that's not actually addressing the main
cause.
Yeah.
So let's go back to Mary's question before we get too far away from it, though. And it was important. I did want to make sure that we covered that. Look, we can't tell you what to do. You really need to talk to your doctor, but you also have to look deeper at what's really going on to figure out what works while I'm on this med and what might help me reduce the need for that med. But going back to Mary, she says that she's on a med for spinal problems, and we don't know what those problems are. But directly, how will that affect your paleo diet? One thing to consider is that one of the main points of a paleo diet is to remove a lot of the garbage that we eat all the time. So we're removing all these toxins and all of these other foods that often present themselves as toxins to many, not all, but to many individuals, just because of the way the body responds to it. So that's kind of the point. So then when you put a med in, well, we know that the med is going to be kind of viewed as a toxin by the body, and the liver is going to try and filter it out, and it's going to get a little overwhelmed so that the med can stay in the body and do its job. So that's one downside of adding a med when you're trying to do all the steps to get the full benefit of a paleo diet. But at the same time, if you need a med, don't worry about it. The paleo diet is not worthless now. You're still taking steps that are helping you. You're still reducing the level of toxin and the level of burden that your body's dealing with. So that's all good. I'm going to ask you if you have anything to add to that one second, Will, but I also want to say that we have to think about, you know, a lot of spinal issues are like a deterioration issue where they view it as an autoimmune issue, like the body is attacking the spine for no reason. Mm-hmm. But we kind of view it as a lot of times either a food is causing that autoimmune reaction or the body's not getting the resources it needs, so it will break down tissue. And a lot of times the spine in that area is a valuable source of nutrients, so the body starts to break it down to get that. So if that's the issue for you and you're on a paleo diet, it sounds like digestive issues may have led you to this spinal problem. And why would that be difficult with a paleo diet, Will Wolfgang Schmidt?
Doctor. Why? Soon to be doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I do want to touch on like the autoimmune issue. Well, that, you know, that can be the case it's kind of like there can be authentic like gluten allergies that could really throw you in the ER. But a lot of times we're kind of confusing, you know, physiological stress on the body for some horrible genetic pathology that we can't do anything about. And we just have to learn to live with. Like it's not actually the case in many instances that our body's just dumb and attacking itself. That can happen. I think if there's like radiation that damages your DNA and that kind of thing. But when we look at like the body in a holistic framework, where we look at how are the systems interrelated, what does it take for these cells to be healthy and for the systems to work right? When we ask that question, even if we've been given a diagnosis of this or that scary story, then all of a sudden we can start to see, what can I do to support like the health of my bones, the health of my vertebrae? What does it take for my cells to be able to function right and to have structural integrity? And then we can start to look at like, all right, well, if we fix this and fix that, now the cells can make energy right. They can deposit calcium into the bones and keep it out of soft tissues. All of a sudden, do we still, and you know, our symptoms disappear. We can then ask, well, do we still have this autoimmune disease? Was it actually an autoimmune disease at all in the first place? Or was it just damage occurring to the body that it was trying to deal with? So there's a really interesting article about HIV and AIDS that one of our favorite thinkers, Dr. Ray Peet, talked about, where he looks at autoimmune diseases and sees how a lot of times we can develop these antibodies, which are used to diagnose the presence of this autoimmune disease. And we can see like, oh, sometimes in certain tissues, after people get bumped on the head really hard or get an intestinal, like, bacterial, you know, infection, they'll develop the same antibodies that we use to identify HIV. But then as they're, like, their wound on their head heals or they do an intestinal cleanse and their body gets rid of that irritant, all of a sudden AIDS disappears because they don't need those antibodies anymore. So it's, you know, if the person could think, like, oh, shoot, I've got this autoimmune disease I'm stuck with forever. But it's not necessarily the right interpretation of what's going on. And if we look at the systems as a whole and do what we can to support it, a lot of times we'll see the body starts to be able to maintain its regular shape and structure and function.
Right. And if there are digestive issues that are restricting your ability to break down fully the food that you eat, which means you might be leaving some of that food undigested, and that's when it can start to create autoimmune type reactions. If that's the case, then a paleo diet can be more difficult to digest because it includes more proteins and fats and fewer processed junky carbohydrates that are easier to break down. So that would be my thought of how that might affect your paleo diet that you're on now, is it can make it difficult if you're not digesting those things correctly. So just something to look at there. And that kind of takes us into our Debbie's question, too. She has a similar kind of thing she wants to talk about.
Okay, but first, if you'd like to learn how to become a health coach, oh my gosh, or just cough, dig into more advanced teachings for yourself or your family, go to healthprocourse.com to learn about Tony and Will's course for coaches. Registration for this course only opens to the public for about a week at a time, so be sure to register for the coach newsletter so you'll be notified when the next registration opens. You'll find more info at healthprocourse.com. Will, did you fall down?
Yeah, my foot got caught on my mic and it knocked the mic over.
We like the shows when you're drunk.
Yeah, yeah. Dr. Schmidt, soon to be. What are you going to prescribe patients? Like,
we gotta stop calling
berries?
Him. We gotta stop calling him that.
He's not a doctor yet.
The whole disclaimer is about how we're not doctors.
Yeah, we're not yet.
Yeah. Years away from that. But when you become a doctor, which is going to be really cool. What are you going to prescribe people? Are you going to say, oh, let's prescribe some berries and a couple of Brussels sprouts and the paleo diet?
It's like the science of nutrition and physiology and what we're able to do with current technology and manufacturing different medications and molecules and supplements and things like that. I think it'll become like increasingly powerful what we can do with nutrition, targeted supplements, and even medications that work harmoniously with the body. Like one of our favorite thinkers, Dr. Emmanuel Ravici, he designed over 100 different like prescription medications that were totally different in nature from how they were going about trying to treat the disease conditions, mostly focused on cancer. But he wasn't designing drugs that were masking symptoms. He was designing drugs and medications that were correcting cellular imbalances.
Moving physiology, yeah.
Yeah, it was like working harmoniously with it. So all of a sudden, like these people getting off of like heroin or opiates wouldn't have any withdrawal symptoms and they'd be healthy and they'd be like, yeah, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. And you keep checking in on them, like, do you have any pain or whatever? And he's like, no, I'm good. It's because like he knew what the cells needed to be able to get off those recreational drugs or painkillers. And he was just able to create something that on a molecular level solved the problem. So I hope to be able to do that sort of thing as well as like, you know, make ever increasingly accurate and useful diet and supplement protocols for people.
Yeah, and there's a lot of doctors out now that they're actually doctors, but then, and we've interviewed a lot for the movie and stuff like that, where they were like, well, what I decided was that what I was doing and what I learned wasn't helping my patients. So they went out and learned other things about nutrition. You're still allowed to implement that. You don't have to write a prescription every time someone walks through the door. Just because some people do doesn't mean you have to.
Yeah. Well, I'm coming to you, Will, when you become a doctor.
Right on.
Just to play doctor.
And you can prescribe me some good stuff. Okay. Debbie, do you know anything about sarcoidosis? Is that right?
It's pretty, sarcoidosis.
Sarcoidosis. And if so, does the food I eat, etc., have any effect on it? I wonder because you mentioned granulomas, correct?
Right.
Oh, I'm good today.
We talked about that in a couple episodes ago, I think. We talked about granulomas a little bit.
Mine is in my lungs. What's going on with my voice?
I think your voice is changing.
Yeah, I guess. Puberty? Yeah, puberty's going through puberty. Mine is in my lungs. I'm almost finished with chapter 2, and this information is very interesting. I was diagnosed with an ulcer a week ago. Thank you for providing the information. You're welcome, Debbie.
Yeah. So if you didn't hear the show, we talked about some granuloma stuff a little bit. It can kind of just be like a collection of inflammatory cells, and those are called granulomas, and that's a lot of times what a sarcoidosis is. But it can be in different parts of the body, and hers were, she says that hers are is in her lungs.
It's not just a grandmother to the other cells?
No, it's not like that. Okay. But so the reason that you think about it is, okay, well, what's going on that's causing these cells to, you know, group together or to become inflamed or to kind of almost form this little other type of tissue or something like that? And a lot of people will say that it can be, you know, an autoimmune issue like we were just talking to, or even deterioration of the tissue or just inflammation. So there can be a lot of different causes of something like that. But the first thought that comes to my head, especially when we're talking about the lungs, is that when a body needs more protein, it's either you're not consuming enough protein or you're not able to digest that protein correctly and break it down into amino acids that the body can use. If the body's not getting that, one of the first places it will go to kind of steal protein from is the lungs. It'll kind of break down that lung tissue. And just to give you a tip, you need your lungs.
Mm, lungs are good.
Yeah, you want those. For some people with situations like this, it could be as simple as let's fix digestion so that your body can actually get some protein, or let's remove you from this vegan diet or whatever that you're doing that is reducing your protein intake so much, and let's get some protein accessible to the body so that it doesn't have to shop at the 7-Eleven that is your own organs and doesn't have to break yourself down.
Said, man, I came for a Slurpee. Uh-huh. All I got was a lung.
Right. Will Schmidt, did you fall over again?
No, I was just listening in and tuning into also this thing about...
This other show. I was listening to this other show.
Yeah, I was listening to this podcast.
No, this thing about elevated blood calcium in this condition. Do you know about how, like, it when your cells start acting this way, they'll start to overproduce... calcium because of, or they'll start to like create high calcium levels in the blood because of this excess like production of vitamin D in the metabolite, this tricky little molecule called calcitriol that makes the, it's from a metabolite of vitamin D. And it just kind of calls to mind like the whole thing about, we had a whole episode on vitamin D supplementation and how, you know, it's a huge fad in modern medicine to prescribe a huge mega doses of vitamin D just on a daily basis. And when we look at like the different sorts of imbalances that can come from too much vitamin D, we'll see hypercalcemia. And so a person with this disease condition, I'm never really sure how to pronounce all these things.
Right. Sarcoidosis.
I hate that word. You want to look at like the system as a whole in every case as much as you can, and be aware like, oh, if I'm like taking extra vitamin D, like that might be further imbalancing me in this case. That's just a little sort of side note about this particular condition.
And I do remember Dr. Ruscio talking about that once with that type of vitamin D. And when you're talking about excess calcium in the system, there's the ability for it not to be the body making this excess calcium or for the cells to be putting it a different place. But sometimes if the body is digging for a mineral that it needs, like phosphorus or something like that in the tissues, and it's pulling it out, calcium will come with that. And then the body will use the phosphorus for whatever it needed it for, and then drop the calcium, and the calcium is left floating around as excess calcium. So there's a variety of ways for things to get jacked up in that type of scenario.
Yeah, and it's why I love and talk so much about supporting regular cellular respiration and cellular energy production, because that's a huge key when we look at, like, oh, these cells that are in this tumor state. And when you have, like, other conditions like osteoporosis or soft tissue calcification, we're kind of left thinking, like, oh, it's just something going awry, like it's this mysterious disease that you have. But when you look at the fundamentals of supporting regular cellular respiration, and we see, like, oh, that is totally off in these tumorous inflammatory cells. It's like, what, why? Like, what are the things that we need to do to help support regular cellular respiration? Because that is one of the main, most fundamental things about keeping calcium where it should be, keeping the electrolytes distributed. That is a huge natural physical byproduct of cellular respiration or cellular energy production happening correctly. When it's happening correctly, we keep calcium in the bones and mostly in the extracellular matrix, like outside the cells. And then primarily potassium is inside the cells. And that's just a natural electrolyte distribution that occurs when regular cellular energy production is occurring.
Yeah, and that is your favorite thing to talk about. And I think your second favorite thing to talk about
is your love for Kenna.
Yeah. I think if you would just shut up about Kenna for 2 seconds and allow us to focus on other topics. But your second thing that you love to talk about is, like, you know, how when there is no protein, what happens to all of that going on? And what happens to the thyroid function and all that stuff? So you can blab about that in a second, Will. But when you do, let's look at what else Mary says. She says that I was diagnosed with an ulcer a week ago. And we don't know what kind of ulcer she's talking about, whether it was a duodenal ulcer or just an ulcer in your stomach. But, you know, we know that if it's an ulcer in the stomach, that's the unanimous decision now is that that's basically caused by bacteria in the stomach. And usually H. pylori. No, nobody thinks that that's caused by excess stomach acid anymore. Yeah. Nobody thinks that's the cause. If your doctor says that it's caused by excess stomach acid, ask him if they've read anything in 10 years. Like, just anything. So if there's bacteria in the stomach, what kind of clue does that give us? Will, Wolfgang Schmidt, not a doctor, might be someday, but simmer down.
But it's a great like little question to ask when we're trying to understand the value of the holistic interpretation of the body. And when I say holistic, it doesn't mean like hippie pseudoscience. It means systems thinking, looking at how these systems are connected. Because when we look at what I was just talking about, cellular respiration, cells being able to make energy in the way that they should, so that electrolytes are distributed where they should be, and so that the cells have their normal shape, size, function, hydration levels, that is what we want to achieve, and it's dependent on the cells being able to make energy in the proper way. And that's a process called cellular respiration, which involves the use of glucose or the oxidation of glucose to make energy. It creates ATP, creates carbon dioxide, it creates nice clean byproducts. And that process is dependent on thyroid hormone secretion. There needs to be sufficient thyroid hormone to stimulate cellular respiration. And for the thyroid to run right, all sorts of things need to be working in place, including protein. There needs to be enough protein for the thyroid to have nitrogen to work with and do its job of secreting thyroid hormone to stimulate cellular respiration to keep everything healthy. But we don't get enough protein if our digestive system is not breaking it down or if you're not eating enough protein. So if you've had a long-standing digestive issue that's created protein deficiency, and also probably if your digestion isn't working well, you're flooded with a lot of exotoxins, even if you're eating a healthy diet, because you're not breaking that food down right. So it'll ferment and rot, and you'll have bacteria creating exotoxins, which are further impairing cellular respiration on top of not getting the nutrition you need to run cellular respiration correctly. So then eventually that system, it builds up with all these extra exotoxins and depletes its functionality with lack of the nutrients it needs. And then the cells are left with no energy and a lot of toxins surrounding them. So they have to, like, morph and try to adapt and evolve. So they'll start to make energy in these other dirtier ways that's what stimulates their conversion into tumor cells. And we see, like, that's all from the root system of the digestion at initially not having integrity and efficiency.
Right. And the translation of that is, if you have an ulcer that was created by bacteria in your stomach, you're not making enough stomach acid to wipe out that bacteria in your stomach. If they can live there happily and set up a keg party and raise their families, your body's not producing enough hydrochloric acid in your stomach for one reason or another. It can be a lot of different reasons. But by fixing that and by taking steps to wipe out that bacteria, now you can break down the protein that you eat and make all those happy things happen that Will just talked about.
Cool.
Yeah.
Today, all of our listeners can get a free audiobook from audible.com. Just go to kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook for the details.
Audible.com.
And that book can be Kick Your Fat in the Nuts.
It could be. I like free things. I like it when I get stuff free.
Free's good.
Yeah, I think we're free from this episode right now.
We're free? Okay, if you want to learn more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the almost free 4-week digestion course at kickitnaturally.com or head on over to Will Schmidt's mybodyofknowledge.net. He's got a lot of great things on there, blogs, articles, exercises. You can go to the /pain relief. There's a lot of good stuff on there. I highly suggest it.
Bye-bye.
Check it out. Bye-bye.
Bye.